Before we begin, as usual, let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Father, again, you have heard our declaration this morning that we would be like Jesus. We would spend time each day in studying your word. And I would ask as I bring the message this morning that you'd be with me and help me to speak clearly and with understanding to your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8, verses 4 through 8. One of the most basic claims of Christianity is that God speaks to people. And all through the Bible, you see the phrase, and God said, or God spoke. You see, the reason God spoke is because He wants to have a relationship with us. And to have a relationship with us, we must communicate, or He must communicate with us. When Donna speaks to me, I often don't hear her, or I misunderstand what she says. Now, I have an excuse because of deafness, but don't let me make that an excuse to Donna. Because she don't believe it. She can shout louder than what I use the hearing aids, but I don't need these things around Donna when she wants to communicate with me properly. And I'm sure that I'm the only fellow that's ever felt that way, that you don't hear or you don't understand or misunderstand your wife. Now, let me say this. If I have that much difficulty with understanding Donna, is it any wonder that sometimes I miscommunicate with God or don't understand what He's saying to me? My sermon title this morning is Hearing God Speak. And folks, I want to tell you, there's nothing more important to you than hearing God speak. Jesus used a parable to explain to His audience the importance of hearing God's voice. And He's telling them that there are four different kinds of attitudes or four different kinds of temperaments. And depending on which temperament you are, you will either hear or misunderstand what God says to you. So that's why when we tune into God and you hear Him speak, you can save yourself a lot of trouble. You see, God can direct you. He can save you from making mistakes. He can comfort you when you need comfort. He can guide you. So Jesus shares with us a parable to help us comprehend or understand what it would be like or what it means for God to speak with us. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, starting in the fourth verse, it says, "And when the great multitude had gathered and they had come to Him from every city, He spoke a parable." Verse 5, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some seed fell on rock. And as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up and yielded a crop 100-fold. When He had said these things, He cried, He who has ears to hear, let him hear." So the parable ends up with the admonition, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear God's word." Now in verse 11 it says, "Now the parable is this, the seed is the Word of God. It is God who plants that seed in our minds. He plants His Word in our minds. So the question is, how does God speak to me? How does God speak to you? When I read God's Word, when I listen to God's Word being preached, I myself must cultivate an open mind. I've got to be eager. I've got to be receptive. I've got to be ready and willing to hear God's voice, because, folks, there are those who attend church or an evangelistic service or a meeting that are not believers. And, of course, we welcome these individuals. We are glad that they are here. But others in the congregation may be new believers, and others been believers for many years. But if I were to ask, have you ever heard God speak to you? There would be those who would say, I can't think of a time that I actually heard God speak to me. I'm not talking about that audible voice. I'm talking about the impressions that God leaves in your mind, that you knew that that still small voice was from God. Why is that? One of the possible reasons that you have never heard the voice of God is because you weren't open to that possibility. Maybe it's unbelief. Maybe because you have closed your mind to that possibility. When you've got a closed mind, you say, closed mind, obviously God can't get through to you. The soil that Jesus speaks of, let's go back to verse 5. It says, a sower went out to sow a seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Now, we live in a little town, but you know there's agricultural procedures that go on around us. Now, of course, the way they till the ground and they farm today is not like it was back in Jesus' day. It's a whole lot different. I remember when I first left Newfoundland to go to Canadian Adventist University out in Alberta. They had huge farms, sometimes three and four sections, and a section is a square mile. And they had these huge tractors. I mean, they could have 50 feet spreaders, you know, behind them, you know, tilling the ground as they got it ready to plant the wheat or the corn or whatever it was they were planting. But maybe back in Jesus' day, I know that they didn't have tractors, but maybe they had to use a hoe and a spade, and they had to get in and turn that soil and dig it up and prepare the soil to plant the seed. You see, Jesus, he used illustrations from things that was taking place every day to teach a spiritual lesson. So he uses these, as he's speaking to these people, he sees this farmer out there, he is tilling a soil, he is getting it ready, and then he says that some seed that he had planted had fell by the wayside. Now the wayside is the place where they walked out to the field. It is hard like a rock. It's real tough. And some of the seed fell on that wayside. And the birds came along and picked it up. Down in verse 12 it says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts least they should believe and be saved. Now notice the illustration that he's making. The illustration he's using is the farmer that's planting the seed, and the birds came and take it away. So the disciple says, you know, when he finished the parable, he says, tell us what they mean. And in verse 12, he begins to tell them, he says, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. They had heard the word, the seed of the living God. It was planted in their hearts. But the devil comes along, like the birds, and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. You see, the devil is just like that. Do you know anybody else like that? They have closed minds. They're narrow-minded. They're hard-hearted. They're not open to the possibility that God might speak to them. And the next question is, what would cause them to have a closed mind? Could it be pride? You see, pride causes us to have a closed mind. When I think I don't need God, or I don't need to hear from God, or I can make that decision by myself, or I can handle this, or I can ace this test on my own, their hearts, any time you fail to pray about something, you're basically saying, I don't need God in this. I can handle this on my own. I can resolve this problem. I can handle this mess. I can correct this error. I don't need God. That's called pride. When I am full of pride, you see, I close my mind to God, and He can't get in to say anything to me because I think I've got it all figured out, so I don't pray about it. And what I'm trying to tell you, dear hearts, whatever you are doing, when you begin the day, talk to God about it. Talk to God about washing the dishes. Talk to God about backing the car in the garage. I probably shouldn't have said that. It's going to come out like Joan didn't pray that day because she knocked her hot water tank over. But whatever you're doing, the point that I'm trying to make is, dear hearts, pray about it. Even the clothes you're going to wear, what I'm going to do today, talk to God about it. Have this attitude of prayer. Pray without ceasing, Paul says. Another reason some people don't hear the Word of God is because of fear. Sometimes we are just afraid, of what God might say to us. We might think, when I pray with an open mind, God is going to tell me to do something that I don't want to do. Now, I've met people like that. He might tell me something that is too hard. He might tell me something that is unpopular. He might tell me something to do that I think I can't do or I don't want to do. So I'm afraid. I'm afraid because if I let God speak to me, I might become a religious fanatic, or I might say all kinds of weird stuff. I'm afraid that if I allow God to speak to me, I'll become some kind of a religious loony nut, so I'm afraid. I'm afraid I'd lose my freedom. I'm afraid I would have to give up my fun. So I close my mind. Some people's minds are closed to God simply out of fear. Another reason a person might close their mind is because of bitterness. Whenever we've been hurt and we hold on to these hurtful memories, it causes us to close our mind to God. In fact, when we open our minds to God, we usually grumble to Him or we chastise Him because He allowed this thing to happen to us. We might say something like, if you're such a loving and powerful God, why did this have to happen to me? You know, their hearts were always going to have to deal with hurts in life. We're always going to have some pain in life. Remember, this is earth, not heaven. You see, God has given us the freedom to choose, and so free people, and also people who have the freedom to choose, they choose to do wrong things, and as a result, sometimes they suffer even pain for it. In our Sabbath school lesson this week, we talked about the subject of guilt. And sometimes guilt causes us to suffer. Blood pressure goes up. We get depressed. We're anxious. We are not only out of sorts with ourselves, we're out of sorts with others. We allow bitterness to rob us from the joy that God wants to give us. Folks, when we hurt, we have to learn to give that hurt to God. Don't close your heart. Don't close your mind. The tragedy of this beaten path, this hard beaten path, this wayside, the tragedy of that hard beaten path is that it is barren. Nothing can grow there. It's unfruitful. You see, a bitter life is a wasted life. It only prolongs the pain. And Jesus says, the birds come along and eat the seed. That kind of life is for the birds. In fact, James tells us in James 1:21, he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow and the overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Let God's love, James is saying, let God love you. Let God implant His word, His seed in your heart. Drop your defenses. Open up your mind. The second step to hearing God's word is I must cultivate now that open mind. I must allow time to listen to God. I've got to slow down. I've got to be quiet. I've got to plan time in my schedule for God. I have got to read His Word. God speaks to us through the Word. You know, we schedule everything else in life. We schedule vacations. We schedule dental appointments. We schedule our work. We schedule our shopping. We schedule everything that we do. Don't you think we should schedule time to be with God? Or does God just get the leftovers? I'm sad to say it. Oftentimes, God just gets the leftovers. Look at verse 6 as Jesus continues to expound on this parable. He says, some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it weathered away because it lacked moisture. Just as the hardened path, you see, the wayside path, just as it represents a closed mind, the rock represents a superficial mind. It is shallow. When we talk about this rocky soil, he's not talking about soil with rocks in it, but he's talking about soil that is hard like rock. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever visited the Middle East, but I had opportunity to be there. And most of, especially around Israel and on into up into Jordan and into Egypt, most of this is like a gravel pit. It is lots of this sandstone. It serves as a bedrock. And in places there might be, 3 or 4 inches of sand, you know, a very poor quality soil that is on top of it. And you plant seeds in that type of soil, it is very difficult for them to take root, because when the sun comes up, it dries up the water, the plants are scorched, and they die. Verse 13 says, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, they receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation, they fall away. So understanding, you know, when Jesus, you know, he's speaking this parable, and he's taking some evidence from everyday life. It's like living on a rock. It just cannot produce. It means that the plants can start to grow, but that is about it. When the summer heat comes, the plants shrivel up. They die because the root system has such shallow ground. 3 or 4 inches. I was there in the springtime, and you see all kinds. You've heard of the desert blooming. It seems like overnight it just springs up and it's green, and the sheep and the shepherds, they're happy just for a short time, because in a couple of weeks, as the sun comes out, it dries up that water. There's nothing can stay on that bedrock, and all that green stuff, it dies, and it's like living in a gravel pit. What Jesus is saying in the parable, he's talking about that superficial type of hearer who hears the word of God, it sprouts up, and they're all excited about it, but it doesn't last. You've met people or seen people like that, hadn't you? When the heat is on, you see, when the problems come, when the trials and temptations come, they just wither and fall away. They die spiritually. Verse 13 says that these individuals, they receive the word with joy, but because they don't have any root, they cannot retain it. So what I'm trying to say to you is that we need to schedule time every day when we sit down with our Bibles and we read. And a good place to start, dear hearts, is with your Sabbath school lesson. Just take that, start on Sunday. Just do Sunday. Folks, it's not hard to spend 10 or 15 minutes reading your Bible and studying it. When you open your Sabbath school lesson, the question is asked. You may not understand it. You go into the Bible, you read it, and then you ask, before you begin to study, you should ask the Holy Spirit to open your mind, to enlighten you, to give you understanding in that matter. When you study your Bible that way and you receive understanding, then during the day, you will be put in situations where you will hear that still small voice. And if you are dealing with, you know, whatever issues they may be, moral issues or financial issues or whatever it is, that still small voice will guide you this way or this way. Now, you also have to remember, in the Christian walk, there are not just God's voice. The devil is hard at work. He's speaking to you. Now, the devil is a ventriloquist. He can talk just like God. If it was an audible voice, you couldn't tell the difference between God and the devil. You've heard these, is it ventriloquists or, you know, these guys who talk like, you know, these comedians, they can talk like the president or, you know, other individuals. What do you call it?
Mimic.
Yes, here we are. Well, you're in another room. You can't tell the difference. But the thing is, you can always tell God's voice from the devil's voice, because he's not going to tell you something different than what is written in the Bible. If that voice, it may sound like God, it may act like God, it may even have some truth in it. But if it is not to the law and to the testimony, according to this word, there's no light in it. Study your Bible. Let me ask you another question. Why should God teach me new things if I not put into practice the things that we learned yesterday? It would be a waste of time on God's part, wouldn't it? Why is it that people have no roots? It's because they don't take the time. How do we get the roots? We have to read, we have to listen, we have to allow that seed to germinate in our lives. Folks, if you don't want to do the Sabbath school lesson, set aside 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes a day. It's not the amount of time that is important. It is what it is important to get started. And every day you spend time with God, He implants that seed and allows it to germinate. And you grow and mature by His grace. The third thing, if I'm going to hear God's voice, is I must hear God's voice. I must eliminate distractions. A lot of times we miss hearing God because our minds are crowded in with other thoughts. Our minds are filled with things from our everyday life, the worries, our plans and goals and ambitions and bills. All of these things, you see, are important to us, and especially when you start to pray or study God's Word. Oftentimes, these cares of the world crowd out what God wants to say to us. You know, I've read a whole chapter in the Bible, and when it was finished, I didn't know a thing that I read because I was thinking about something else all the time. I read every word, but I couldn't tell you what it was done. Folks, I've had to go back 4 and 5 times and read that chapter to know what it was saying to me. Because the things of this world can crowd it out. When our mind is full and always thinking of other thoughts, God has a hard time reaching us. He can't get through. When you're too busy and there are many things that are good that can distract you, you're too busy to listen to God. Verse 7 says, "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it." So he's saying that these thorns or these weeds which grew up choked out the other plants. Verse 14 says, "Now the ones that fell among thorns are those who, when they have heard, they go out and are choked with the cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. The seed that fell among the thorns stand to represent those who hear the Word of God, but they allow God's Word to be choked out by the worries of everyday living. The soil with weeds, this third kind of soil, is the farmer throwing, he's broadcasting the seed. It represents a mind that is preoccupied. We are distracted. The seeds sprout and they grow, but it is choked by the weeds before it can bear fruit. Jesus says there are distractions are a kind of weed, and he gives us some examples. First, when he gives us his worry. Worry can distract you from hearing God speak. You can't pray and worry at the same time. Worries are the problems and the pressures of daily life. You are pulled in different directions, you see. When you worry, you can't hear what God wants to say to you. You are preoccupied. You are distracted. Riches can be a weed in your life. We can be so busy making money that we don't have time for God. Another weed that we have to do with is pleasure. Now, folks, there is nothing the matter with pleasure. Who do you think gave you pleasure in the first place? It was God. God wants us to enjoy pleasure. He says, come apart a while. But he's also saying you can be so busy having fun that you forget God. When pleasure or when recreation replaces worship, you forget about God. In the summertime, I don't think I'll go to church this weekend. We're on vacation, so I won't go to church this weekend. Or I don't have time for Bible reading or quiet time. Who are you on vacation from? God? You can also be so busy having fun. And God wants you to have fun, dear hearts. But when it becomes number one in your life, guess who's been crowded out? God has been crowded out. There are a lot of different kind of weeds, and you can make your own list of the things that tend to crowd God out of your everyday living. A weed, you see, is anything that distracts me from making time with God. You know what I've discovered? You don't have to water weeds. They just grow. Weeds, you see, is a sign of neglect. When I start neglecting time with God on a daily basis, when I start neglecting church, when I start neglecting Bible study and prayer meeting and those other things, the weeds, you see, begin to grow up in my life. And the Bible says that they are going to choke the spiritual life right out of you. And I've seen that happen. Hadn't you? The fourth soil that Jesus speaks about is a willing heart. Willing to do whatever God tells us to do. In fact, even before He tells us. Look at verse 8. It says, but others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. Verse 15 says, but the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word, with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. They not only hear God's word, but they retain it. They write it down. They listen to it. They think about it. They go over it. They let it take root in their mind, and that root then, that life becomes productive. So I close with a question. What would you like to make count in your life? Would you like to have a productive, fulfilling life, satisfying life? Or would you like to have it all fun and nonsense? If we would like to have a productive life, we must do what James says. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. To read God's word or to hear God's word and not do it, you are being deceived. Remember a couple of weeks ago I talked about, the Christian? And some Christians, their life is such that they are orientated by their good works. It's not by a life of faith and trusting God. When the harvest time, just before the harvest time comes, they go out and they get these dead trees and they plant them in their backyard and they hang, the fruit on them, bananas and plums and apples and grapefruit and, they hang all these fruit on these dead trees. Who are they fooling? Nobody. They may boast about the wonderful harvest that they had. But really, folks, it's very superficial because it didn't come from within. If we are going to produce fruit for God, it's got to come from within. It's not from the exterior. It's from within, because that's where God dwells in the representative of His Holy Spirit. He guides us. He directs us. He allows us to open our minds. He allows us to overcome our distractions. He allows us to be like Jesus. The Holy Spirit, you see, from within, He fits us to live in heaven. It is my prayer, as we take note of these parables, that we would not merely just listen to the word or hear the word, because you will deceive yourself. We have to be doers of the word, growing by God's grace to be like Jesus. Amen.